Corinthians chapter 12, please. If I could have a couple men help me, that would be nice. Thank you, and thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. A light has shone in the darkness. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 12, we'll begin reading in verse 11, please. Let's all stand together. If the notes look a little weird, that's intentional. I decided not to manipulate the notes. These simply come from the ongoing teaching of Sunday school and Sunday night for the last, who knows, long time. This is my last section on the subject of apostles. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. I am become a fool in glorying. And as I taught 2 months ago, 3 months ago, glorying means boasting, bragging, yes. He says, I have become a fool and I needed to brag. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you or by you, for in nothing am I behind. And this phrase, I will confess to you, for many years this phrase meant nothing to me because I didn't really get, it almost needs to be like this, folks. Look, you know when you say something like this with air quotes? When you read it in Greek, it's very obvious, but in English it's like the very chiefest apostles. I never got it. These are not a group of apostles, but a group of false apostles, okay? It's only found twice, both in 2 Corinthians. Paul evidently had some people that thought or tried to pretend to be super-duper apostles. Of course, they weren't anything of the sort. He goes on to say, I'm not behind the very chiefest apostles. That's just two words in Greek. Huperleon, apostles. Though I be nothing. Then he says, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought or performed among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Tonight we're going to finish up with the apostles. Here's what we're going to ask. How did you know somebody was an apostle? Anybody? Probably somebody who spent 3.5 years with Jesus. Probably somebody that Jesus chose. Probably somebody that saw the resurrection. Yes or no? Or the resurrected Christ. Pretty straightforward stuff. By the way, we talked for a couple of weeks now on the purposes of an apostle. And their purposes are, number one, evangelizing the world, but in a specific way, different than you and I. What's the difference? They were eyewitnesses. They were not talking about the gospel in the Bible. They were not giving just personal testimony. They were talking, as 1 John 1, 1 to 3 says, about what they saw, heard, and handled, which is also found in Luke when Jesus says, I'm not a ghost. Handle me. Touch me. Secondly, we talked about the second purpose of an apostle was the establishing of the church, which could not happen before Pentecost, because before Pentecost, there was no body. There were no gifts. There was no head to the body, because Jesus had to ascend back to the Father to distribute gifts. The Holy Spirit comes in power in the form of that age, and the body was formed, and the gifts were given to the body. The church starts. So the apostles, look at me, they're teaching becomes the foundation of the church. As I said this morning, we do have an apostolic teaching. It's called the New Testament. The third purpose, and these are all wound together, was the writing of the New Testament. Now, if you were not here, and you have no concept of what I just said, don't be a Billy Baptist. It's all online. Stop being a Billy Baptist. You ought to have a good knowledge of why you hold to the Bible. And I'm not referring to King James only stupidity. That is the talk of fools. We're talking about Scripture, which happened a long time before 1611. Or excuse me, the one you have is 1769. Okay? So those are the three purposes. Tonight we're going to seal the deal with asking, well, how did you know somebody was an apostle? Well, those are the ways. There is then a confirmation, and we'll deal with that after this. Father, thank you. We've been talking about this for a long time. We spent a Sunday night just dealing with two passages in the Gospels about the apostles. We spent three weeks talking about who were apostles. We spent a week or two talking about the qualifications of an apostle. We've spent 3-4 weeks talking about the purposes of an apostle. And tonight we conclude with, how do we know somebody was an apostle? Well, it's called the signs of an apostle. Help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How did you know somebody was an apostle? On your notes, we're just going to fill in because I've already given the other material. And you can get all of this online down at the bottom of the first page, point number 4. Point number 4 is not a purpose of the apostle. It is the conclusion of everything. Apostles were chosen, qualified, and confirmed. And the confirmation comes by the signs of an apostle. So friends, I want everyone to look at me. Do I believe that God hears and answers? No, not do I. Do we believe that God hears and answers prayer? Do we believe God can heal? But that's a separate question from, does God always heal? Which, to say that God always heals, and you just need to have enough faith, puts you in a position of foolishness. Especially when everybody dies. But let me just say this, I am not some Baptist that doesn't want to pray and ask God to intervene. But the hoopla that I see on TV called miracles has nothing to do with the New Testament. Now we're going to read what the book of Acts says about miracles. Please hear me. We're going to look at all of them. They're in your notes. Maybe you'll pick something up as we read. Read with me. Acts 2, verse 43. Fear, this is the very first beginning of the church. Fear came upon every soul, or every individual had the proper sense of who God was. And many wonders, signs were done by the apostles. Acts 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Verse 12. And then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Acts 19:11, and God wrought, and that's Old English, God did. It's just the word poeo, which means to do something, to perform something. He did something. He wrought or did special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Romans 15:17. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought or done by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum. Some of you were in Sunday school this morning when Rhoda interrupted me. Everybody look up here. I said older people never look things up. I know what the Illyricum is. Do you? If you don't, I'm not telling you. Look it up. there comes a time, look at me, when Christianity becomes yours, not somebody else's. And the pastor's job is not to babysit, but to lead. Look it up. Paul is making a claim about the Illyrian Peninsula, which is how any Roman citizen would have referred to it in the first century. We continue. He says, I have fully preached the gospel. We have already read about, in chapter 12, verse 12, the signs of an apostle. Then we have, and we'll spend a moment of time at the end of this today, on Hebrews 2, verse 3 and 4. The author of Hebrews, not Paul, obviously, says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Obviously, Acts chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3 says exactly this. It starts with the Lord, and then it's confirmed unto us. Then you have the Lord, and you have an us, and then you have an in-between group. You have the Lord, us, by them, who's the them, the apostles, that heard him. God also bearing them, who's them, not us, not the Lord, the in-between group, bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. We're going to look for the next 20 minutes or so at the signs of an apostle, maybe not even that long. The signs of an apostle in your notes. God confirmed the apostles as his official representatives. He confirmed the apostles as his official representatives. As I said earlier, in the first century, there was not a lot of people that claimed to be an apostle. Why? Because everybody knew the apostles had been with Jesus except Paul and maybe James. And even Paul grew up where? He grew up in Jerusalem around the events, and James grew up with Jesus. So even though neither one were believers, both of them grew up around these events. So to go up and say, you know, I'm an apostle, people would just call you out. You're lying. You weren't one of the people with Jesus. You're not Paul. You're not James. So you're just not an apostle. Apostles become a problem later, and then a few times throughout history, including the city of Zion, including England at one time, and now we have apostles in every street corner, supposedly. God confirmed the apostles as his official representatives. Next, God confirmed, obviously, those he had called and chosen. So that's just obvious. He gave ways where people would know, these are the men that I have chosen to do what? Evangelize the world by talking about what they saw, heard, by evangelizing that they were eyewitnesses, establishing the church, and then writing the scripture or completing the canon. Those great purposes. Next, God did so. He confirmed them by miracles, wonders, and signs. Miracles, wonders, and signs. I'm going to say something. And Mr. Henry, I'm glad you're with us tonight. Everybody needs to actually hear what I'm saying exactly. I read too much. If I hear one more stupid Pentecostal say, and I have a book this thick, written against John MacArthur's book, Strange Fire. I read Pentecostals constantly. If one more of them talks about miracles, this is Ralph Warren's description, Star Wars miracles. Long ago and in a far distant galaxy, there are people raised from the dead in Africa. Why do they always mention places you can't go? It's Star Wars nonsense. It's nothing to do with reality. The miracles that God used, by the way, and it wasn't a miracle a minute, it wasn't a miracle a day, but God did use the apostles to do some things that were extraordinary. But friends, they weren't someplace you couldn't go. Please hear me. I have read two volumes by a famous scholarly Pentecostal, last name of Brown. He does the same thing. The miracles are always some other place. Friends, if Jesus is going to raise the dead today through a man, he could do it any place. So a church in California where, look at me, the vast majority of contemporary Christian music comes out of what two places? I should ask the people in the back. Two places. Where does it come from? Contemporary Christian music. Hillsong and Bethel. Both of them, false prophets involved in the whole mess. And by the way, it comes into Baptist churches, of which some of you should know people that sing this foolishness. And we saw some of it a couple years ago, coming out in their praying, claiming and demanding from God, comes right out of the music, the filthy music they're singing, comes out of two hyper-charismatic organizations. Hillsong is collapsing on the whole because of all the problems. Bethel is a disaster. Bethel is the church where a little child died. I'm going to ask you a question. If a man or a woman steps behind a pulpit and says, God has declared to me, or something to that effect, that God is going to raise this child from the dead, what happens when that child doesn't get raised from the dead? Why isn't that individual immediately excommunicated? They had a little child for 4 days and they had resurrection services. And then, did the child get resurrected? By the way, could God resurrect a child? Yes. But I'm sorry, friend, in the New Testament, that happened to a very, very small group. I think Lazarus, maybe one or two. This isn't a miracle a minute. This isn't a game. Now, I'm going to ask you a second question. After the 4 days, they had a funeral for the child, and what happened to the couple? Well, they're out of church, and what happened second after being out of church? Do you not know? You can't believe lies. Do I believe God could? See, the difference between believing God could and believing God will is separate. Because I actually believe in God's promises. Did you all sing a song, Standing on the... Here's one of the first promises. If you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. That's one of God's fundamental promises. You know he's kept that promise for a long time? All right, we better move on. I do believe God did miracles. I believe things happen in the New Testament that are unique. I believe in the miraculous. I do not believe that God is giving signs of an apostle, because apostles were people in the first century that were given for evangelizing the world by talking about what they saw, heard, and touched. They were eyewitnesses. They established the church, and they wrote the scripture, and when the last apostle, John, was dead, that era was over. Doesn't mean God quit doing miracles, but he no longer had apostles. He was not confirming the gospel anymore in that fashion. In your notes, I'll say all these again. God confirmed the apostles as his official representatives. God confirmed those he had called and chosen. He confirmed them by signs, wonders, and wonders and signs. Makes no difference the order. Look at me. No Star Wars miracles. Are you clear? No Star Wars miracles. And I could claim some of the most scholarly guys I have ever read, Grudem, and men that are brilliant, and they start talking about someplace else. Why are you doing that? They're trying to prove to themselves that God is... Here's the bottom line. God hasn't done this kind of thing since the first century when we had apostles. Do we need apostles now? No, we have the apostolic teaching. No Star Wars miracles. Let's continue. I would even say tell you this. God confirmed them in unusual ways. How do I believe they were unusual? Because the Bible says it was unusual. Acts chapter 19 and verse 10. And this continued by the space of two years, so that all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Something even just unique. You know, I don't want to say weird, because it wasn't weird in a bad sense, but it's just not something you're going to expect. So what did he do? God did something special by Paul. Verse 12. So that from his body were brought into him the sick. And friends, this is old English. I haven't even read this in Greek recently. But elements of clothing. And the diseases departed from them. Now, does this mean we're going to start selling miracle clothing. I'm asking you a question. We've been doing this on television for the last 30 to 40 years. Some guy just decides, by the way, you don't decide that you're Paul. The text tells you he was an apostle and God was doing something unique to confirm as the gospel exploded into Turkey. And the Jewish people and the Gentiles like us heard the gospel. God did some special things to confirm the message of Paul that salvation was through Jesus Christ. Why would we think he's going to do that for us? Wait a minute. He's going to do that from a television preacher that charges you money. Man, it's very depressing. The selling of the gospel. The modern Reformation started with Martin Luther by the Roman Catholic Church selling forgiveness. Now we have people selling, look at me. Have you ever heard of someone that had a child that had cancer? And what happens to a person? After many people, not all, maybe not even most, but some, they pray for their child if they're Christians. They go to church. They ask God, by the way, we've done that. Listen, right over in this area, there used to be a crazy young man said, all of you know who it was. I can still see him walking. He would always come into service at weird times. He would walk in those double doors. And after he got his first round of cancer, he started wearing the weirdest color clothing I had ever seen in my life. Did we pray for Sam Labasi? And the Lord took Sam Labasi from us after 7 weeks of marriage. Devastated his wife. By the way, I understand desperation. You'll have people do this. People that are Christians or vaguely Christians, they'll start sending money to these idiots to get the magic oil. There are people that sell water from supposedly Jerusalem. There are people that sell special holy water, holy oil. There are people that sell cloths. It's all about money. By the way, there's no money here. God was using Paul to spread the gospel in a very unusual way because the gospel had never been there. There had never been the gospel going into Turkey. Well, we continue. Peter has the same thing in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they that were one accord in Solomon's porch, meaning they didn't really even have a place to meet yet. They met in the temple, and the temple was massive. It's one of the, I believe, might have been the largest structure in the world at that time. It continues, and the rest dared no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by them might overshadow them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them that were vexed with unclean spirit, and they were healed. What's that text say? Do you understand what it means to be healed? You had a real disease you no longer have. Have you seen that in your lifetime, Pastor Warren? Yes, a handful of times. More often than not, people go to doctors. That helps somewhat. But I'm going to say this, friend. You're not really reading this text. Where were these people healed? In the streets. Where was the music? Where was the singing for an hour? Where was the money? None of that was here, friend. God was doing special things. You say, was God going to do this again? I will tell you, the answer is, look at me, yes, but not in our age. One day, the tribulation period will begin, and there will be two witnesses that do things like this. In the middle of the tribulation, they will be martyred. If you want to hang around and see what that's like, that's okay. Could God, then people say, well, don't you believe God could? I don't think God is going to have some new apostles. We have the message. The message has been confirmed. We know what the gospel is. We know who Jesus is. We have it written down. We live out the Christian life. All right, we continue. So God confirmed them with the signs. Next, God confirmed them with the signs of an apostle. Now, what in the world does signs of an apostle mean? Well, it's really simple, friend. Signs of an apostle. So, an apostle and not a non-apostle. Is that simple? So if you were a Christian in the first century, did you do these miracles? Well, the answer is obviously not. Those were the signs that pointed to, that's an apostle. I am not an apostle. They were the signs of, say it with me, an apostle, which means not the signs of a non-apostle. Pretty much all the great miracles done in the first century were done by the Lord Jesus and this small group of people, as the book of Acts keeps saying over and over and over. I'm not saying God didn't perform miracles, but I'm talking about using men to do this because the purpose was to confirm this group of men and their message, which the church then hears the message, or people get saved, become members of local churches, and then train men, and those men preach the gospel locally, the people spread the gospel, but the signs of an apostle pointed to an apostle as opposed to a non-apostle, obviously. We continue. It also says something else. And a true apostle and not a false apostle. A true apostle and not a false apostle. Now, I want everyone to look at me. I don't want to make fun of anybody. There's been so many false apostles that used to, I don't get cable TV. I watch no Christian television. I have never watched so-called Christian television. I will never watch Christian television. I don't need the entertainment. You say, but there's some good preachers. I'll read their sermons or I'll listen to them. I hate the entertainment. But I want to be clear. The stuff on television is a scandal. It's a scandal. People spend their life savings trying to help, you know, pay their child. It sounds like Roman Catholicism, trying to pay God off through somebody. A true apostle, here it is, a true apostle like Paul, God used to do this. And those signs confirmed that he was true, and those super apostles weren't true. It's not the only thing. The message they preached was also part of it. Obviously. We continue. So God confirmed them with the signs of an apostle. So an apostle, not a non-apostle like you or I, and a true apostle as opposed to a false apostle. Next, God confirmed the message of the apostles. That was the whole point of everything. Now, I am sorry, I've got to do something. Atong, can you come up here, please? Dada, bring your stuff because I'll just let you set up here. Bring your Bible and whatever else you need, please. I need to demonstrate something. We're going to be done tonight. Are you guys ready? How do you ever read the Bible? By the way, just have a seat, guys. This guy here has to do with pastors in the Philippines. He has to do down to the pronouns because most people don't pay attention to what the Bible says. We sang a song. I never have sung it, but in many of our kind of churches, some of you will know it. Every promise in the Bible is mine. Well, that's just a bunch of foolishness. Not every, by the way, when Judas hanged himself, you know, you don't read the verse and go and do thou likewise and say, I need to go hang myself. Okay, not everything in the Bible is written about you. Is that, are you agreed to that? Well, I'm going to give you the points, but let's actually do what it says. But we'll do it physically so you can see it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. The author of Hebrews, and by the way, this is the primary, this is not the only reason, there's many, but this is one of the reasons you know Paul could not, got to hear the language, could not have written Hebrews. I didn't say he did not, I said he. Do you understand the difference between did not and could not? Because Paul is, whoever the author is claiming something that Paul would have never claimed. Are we ready? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now remember, the book of Hebrews is a sermon about the superiority of Christ over everything. And that's the theme that's wound throughout the book until you get to chapter 10. It's the theme. So he's talking to different people that he's more or less preaching to, and that he writes the sermon down later. Don't have time to give the whole background. So he's saying, listen, you better not neglect this great salvation. Then he says this, which at the first began to be spoken by whom? All right. Does this which do you prefer to be the Lord? None of the above? Here's the Lord. The Lord, by the way, now the Lord, remember what we taught in Sunday school, everything centers on Christ. The Old Testament points to Christ, but remember, then the Lord Jesus has to point back to the Old Testament because he confirms what the Old Testament says. And then everything following him. So the Lord, what does it say? Let's read it exactly. Which at the first began to be spoken by and was confirmed. Atong? Here we go. Spoken by, confirmed unto, by, who's the them that heard him? Who's the them? I'm sorry, you haven't heard him. Now, you've read the Bible, you've heard the scripture, which is the same, but I'm sorry, you weren't there when he was teaching Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So let's get the whole process. The Lord began to speak. He established things, fulfilling the Old Testament. He chose a group of people. Who are they? So, who began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard. Who's him? You're starting to catch on. Now let's read the next verse, and let's stay right where we're at. Are you all with me? This isn't rocket science. Verse 4. God also bearing, look up here, the Lord, us. Who did the Lord bear witness with signs and miracles and gifts? The us? No, the them. Just exactly what he said throughout the whole book of Acts. Just exactly what Paul said, I have done the signs of an apostle. So there comes a time when we quit playing games with fools and quit being afraid that we're, there's the Lord, there's us, and there's them. And by the way, how do we know, Paul? I get the language. Some of you don't get my language. I did not say he did not write Hebrews. I said he could not. Why? Paul would never claim that he was an us. Ever. He was one of them. He was one of the apostles. Yes or no? Now, it doesn't make any difference who wrote, in one sense, Hebrews, because ultimately the Holy Spirit gave it through one of the people surrounded the apostles. Which one? Folks, that debate goes on forever. You say, who was it? Some people think it was Luke. Some people think it was Apollos. If I had a guess, but it's as bad as guess as everybody else, I'd say Barnabas. But you know who ultimately wrote Hebrews? The Holy Spirit. So my friend, gentlemen, just stay here. Here's my point. God confirmed the message of the apostles. God didn't confirm the next generation. And all you do, now I know, I've been around a week or two. When you read charismatics, they immediately start saying, well, the reason the second generation, look at me, the us, didn't have the miracles as they had, they lacked faith. Oh, shut that stuff up. The message had gone forth. The church was established. By the end of the first century, the scripture was written. Nobody wrote after the Apostle Paul. Everything was in place. That was the end of that era. Look at me. That's the reason Paul says that the church is built on the what? Foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone. They, the apostles, is the foundation. Not the men, their teaching, which was confirmed, and the us, which is all of us, received it. And by the way, there's never mention of, now that doesn't mean God didn't do miracles. We're not discussing miracles. God can still, by the way, friend, you never hear as long as I'm alive, don't pray. And there are a lot of good Christian men, they take this so far that they're almost afraid to ask people to pray. Why? My friend, if you're in need, pray. Just don't think you're going to command God to do what you want him to do. Okay, that's all. But always, by the way, probably next Sunday morning, we'll come back to Matthew 17. Look at me. If I said this, when that man comes to Jesus in Matthew 17, it's the perfect example. He comes, he's down on his knees. He's imploring Jesus for mercy, compassion. To me, that's what a Christian does. Does God always answer our prayer? He always answers his will. But I would say pray. I'm not a person that says, it's almost like I got to figure out, does God want to answer my prayer? Just pray. God will sort that out. Jesus, you did a good job tonight. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Excellent job for us, Atong. Thank you. Let's finish up tonight. I'm going to read all these bullet points and be done. God confirmed the apostles as his official representatives. God confirmed those he had called and chosen, obviously in the first century. God confirmed them by miracles and wonders and signs. God confirmed them in unusual ways, yes. I want to say this to you, friend. I might teach on this stuff in the future. As I was reading book after book, I have learned that a lot of very, I think, decent people get consumed with God doing an unusual work. Do you know how God normally works? The normal ways. Parents, you want your children to follow Christ. There is no unusual. Most of it is the day they're born, you bring them home, you start reading them the Bible, you start praying with them, you start bringing them to Sunday school, you start bringing, you know, it's just the normal stuff. I have found charismatics are fascinated and they constantly use, God's doing an unusual work. He's doing a new work. That is a fixation that's something you need to get over. God normally works through the old-fashioned way. Hello? Do you know how God supports a ministry? Miracles? No, it's called the miracle of people just being faithful like they're supposed to be. Does God come alongside every once in a while and do something spectacular? Of course. But to live your life for the unusual, the new, that's a bad path to follow. In your notes, God confirmed them with the signs of an apostle. So an apostle, not a non-apostle. A true apostle, not a false one. God confirmed primarily, friend, this, the message of the apostles. That was the key. We preach the gospel. That's our command. And to preach the word, that's our command. God didn't confirm, according to Hebrews, the next generation. So whoever it was that wrote the book of Hebrews, which was sometime before, I think, AD 70, because the temple seems to still be active, whoever that person was, maybe probably an associate of Paul, he's already distancing himself. He knows I'm not one of those guys. I'm not the Lord, obviously, but I'm not one of them. I'm an us. Already, God confirmed them, not us. And lastly, the church preaches a confirmed message, which is the gospel and ultimately the whole counsel of God. Father, thank you for tonight. I ask that this might be helpful. Lord, I would never want any Christian to walk away thinking they shouldn't pray. Nor would I want a Christian to think that somehow God's going to revert them back to 50 years younger by some miracle. Or God is going to raise their dead family member from the dead ahead of time. It's not that you cannot, it's just not part of your plan. Certainly you are capable of doing amazing things. The fact that we prayed in this church for Lourdes Velez, who has had two or three kinds of cancer since, was it 97, 1998? And here we are, well over 25 years later, and you seem to pretty much have heard our prayers. But yet, Lord, I think we pray just as much for my friend Sam our friend, and you took him home very quickly. I think we prayed for Haley McGrail's husband. I know I got up in the middle of the night a couple nights just to pray when they asked for people to pray. To no avail. Father, our first prayer request isn't our will, it's thy will be done. Because we recognize that's the only thing that's important. Help us to have heard tonight. May this be helpful and profitable, I ask in Jesus' name.